John Milton, a 37-year-old former U.S. Army surgeon with two-year tours in Iraq and three in Afghanistan, lived in four refrigerator boxes covered with a cheap plastic tarp under an aquifer bridge on the edge of Glendale, Arizona. His legal residence address was his sister Maria's two-bedroom apartment, 9 miles away near India School and 107th Avenue. Maria's five kids, ages 4 to 12, were well-behaved, carefully tended by John's Aunt Nina while Maria worked nights. There were too many people in that place for John to be comfortable, especially when he had screaming nightmares from his time in combat. He knew when his nightmares had happened because he woke to see the little kids' backs pressed against the walls or hiding with tears and terror on their faces. John moved under the bridge. Poor soil preparation for the 100-foot approach slab of the southbound lane of State Route 103 at the bridge resulted in three small bumps on the highway. The sharp edges of the bumps were ground off after the soil was fixed. The bumps became small waves that flexed the suspension, but no longer destroyed the rims of cars speeding over the bridge. Anything not tied down in the back of big trucks or pickups hovered for a few seconds after the third bump, and then flew due to the slight left curve straight into the creek bed. The three small bumps provided John with a steady supply of mostly empty ice chests, hubcaps, boxes of clothing, building materials, hand tools, and mattresses. It was half a mile to the nearest freeway exit in either direction. If someone realized they lost a box on the bridge, they rarely came back looking for it. But if they did, John helped them gather their lost stuff and duct tape their boxes, sometimes even assisting as they hauled the boxes back to their truck. Maricopa County Sheriff deputies searched John's residence twice and found nothing criminal. John explained he would gladly return all the objects he found to the owners if they could be identified. A couple of times he had done so, first a roofer's nail gun and a short time later a practically new skill chainsaw. Both times he received only a $10 reward. The deputies did not hassle him after that. Once a week, John would borrow Tia Nina's ancient Ford pickup and haul his stash of mattresses, ice chests, and tools into Glendale. If he had boxes of kids' clothing, Maria's children received First Chance, Salvation Army second, before the rest went to Goodwill. John left the mattresses at the homeless shelter. The ice chests and tools went to a pawn shop. John was separated from the Army after 17 years and lived on a monthly VA disability payment of $964.36. It was higher because he was listed as having a spouse. He believed he was still married to Melinda, but had no idea where she lived or how to contact her. When he came back to Phoenix from Afghanistan 2 years ago, strangers were living in his apartment. They had been there 3 months. The rental office collected his mail and held it for him because Melinda told them John would be back. He had to pay 3 months back rent before they would give him his mail and the key to his completely empty storage unit. Melinda left no forwarding address after she ruined his credit. He couldn't rent anything decent, even if he wanted to. Melinda had his general power of attorney. She sold his black Ford F-150 Shelda Baja Raptor pickup when she learned a bullet cracked John's skull and he was heading home. His entire $10,000 in savings and his paid-off 2012 supercharged Mustang Shelby GT500 had been his down payment on that truck. He paid $2,000 a month for almost 2 years for that $100,000 monster. Friends told him Melinda's boyfriend drove his truck every day while he was gone. That sucked. His beautiful truck was now for sale at the local Ford dealer, who sympathized but wanted the $1,700 he had given Melinda to resell it to John again. John had just over $2,000 in his bank's checking account and no chance of getting any kind of legitimate loan from anyone. John now rode a custard-colored girl's cruiser bicycle with 26-inch balloon tires. It was practically new and easily repaired after the road bumps dropped it directly in front of him. He considered selling it, but thought the rightful owner might someday come looking for it. December had been good for John. 4 ice chests, mostly full, fell to him with only one broken beyond repair as it smashed on the rocks and not into the mesquite trees near the bridge. His gifts from the bumps also included a beat-up string trimmer, an old pole chainsaw, 2 mattresses, a box spring, a big box of used but like-new Carhartt work clothes that fit him. The best of the gifts from the bumps was an extra heavy-duty tarp used to cover big loads on an 18-wheeler trailer. John used that tarp and several pallets collected during prior months, four 10-foot sections of thick-walled 2-inch PVC pipes and various wires, rope, and string to build a sturdy dwelling under the bridge that should withstand any Arizona weather. An expensive backpack full of practically new gear flew down to him 2 days before Christmas. There were no identifying tags on the backpack. One pocket contained a sandwich bag of marijuana, plus generic pill bottles of cocaine and heroin. John threw the drugs into the dumpster at the Circle K before he put a lost and found notice on Craigslist using the computer at the library. That backpack also held a high-tech water pump filter that would keep John drinking water indefinitely. A high-tech sleeping bag, gloves, and a down-filled vest were a bonus.
Cut.